Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And for Mike, I am your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow, broadcasting all this week, at least tonight and Tuesday and Wednesday, for the vacationing Mike Malloy. He'll be back with you, of course, next week, and an encore, Mike, I think, on Thanksgiving and on Friday. Until then, you got me. We got lots to talk about. And we got a whole bunch of open phones here, 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in and talk about anything we have talked about tonight or anything we have not, 877-520-1150. Please stop on by if you don't mind and say hello in the bradblog.com chat room. We'd love to see you over there. And you'll find it. Just go to bradblog.com. It's the top item. Click through the chat room. It's, as usual, sponsored by Scribble Live. My thanks to Scribble Live for loaning us, giving us a chat room to use whenever I'm in for Mike Malloy. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. And my Twitter address, if you'd like to badmouth me over there, is at the Bradblog. I am the Bradblog. Over on the Twitters. Any other business, Desiree, that I got to get out of the way?
No, not that I can think of.
Did I get it all? All right.
Yeah.
877-520-1150. And let me make sure. Oh, tomorrow night, by the way, we've got, I had mentioned earlier in the show that Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs is going to be joining us. He used to be a wingnut, as you well know, but now he's not. And not only is he not, he's like, the wingnuts hate him. They hate Charles Johnson because he calls them out on their BS. He knows their tricks. He knows their nonsense. He thinks they are insane. And we had him on the show a couple of years ago. I think he's great. And he's going to be joining us tomorrow night on the show to talk about the insane Benghazi gate, the fake scandal that gets even more ludicrous by the day. So I will look forward to talking to Charles Johnson. Also, Lisa Graves, I believe, from the Center for Media and Democracy is going to be joining us to talk about a call for Senate hearings concerning dark money.
Ah,
and
that's a new one.
Calling in the Koch brothers to testify when they were blocked some years ago, back when the Republicans were in charge. The Kochs weren't allowed to come in and talk about their many, let's say, crimes. So that may change now with Democratic control growing in the U.S. Senate. Ernie Canning from bradblog.com wrote about that over the weekend. So check that story out. We'll talk with Lisa Graves about it tomorrow, and we'll see what else comes up. All right. Well, I have a few other things I wanted to talk about. But first, this was late last week, Des, so I wanted to bring you in. Desi Doyen is, of course, our producer here and my co-host on the Green News Report, which you can hear at greennews.bradblog.com or on fine progressive radio stations around the country or on iTunes and blah, blah, blah. So last week we had this BP deal. The Department of Justice told us this was the largest criminal settlement ever in the history of mankind.
No, well, actually in the history of the U.S. government. You know, and that's not saying much. The actual settlement that would settle all criminal charges from the federal government was $4.5 billion. And $5.5 billion is what BP made in three months, just the 3 months just ended in the third quarter.
So they agreed to pay $4.5 billion. And yet their profits, right?
Profits over 3 months.
In the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Last 3 months.
Profits.
Were $5.5 billion.
Yes. Yeah, so it'll be a drop in the bucket for them.
And that $4.5 billion, they get to pay off over 5 years.
Yes, they do. Now, there is a good point about that. They cannot deduct it on their taxes. So at least there's that.
Oh, that's great. But this is nothing. And the Department of Justice was bragging about this because it was their largest.
It is. It is still. I mean, it is the largest on record. It just doesn't say that much.
But explain this to me, Des. There was part of the settlement was they pled guilty to 11 counts of manslaughter.
Yes.
Okay. But
for the 11 workers who died on the Deepwater Horizon rig when it exploded.
But who went to jail?
Nobody.
So when they say that this is a criminal indictment that they pled guilty to, and yet nobody goes to jail. How is that a criminal indictment? Isn't that pretty much just like a civil penalty at that point? If nobody
goes to
jail?
Well, you know, you're talking about specifics, you know, the niceties of the law. You know, we have this fiction that we operate on in America that corporations are people only up until the point where they can not go to jail and not be given the death penalty for killing people. That's what we do. That's how we do things here in the United States of America. There is no corporate death penalty. Now, they will also, you know, they haven't completed all of the adjudication on this. There are still, you know, there's the $20 billion that BP set aside for compensation for victims and individuals and businesses, you know, and they've used up some of that money. In addition to that, there will also be other charges that come up with the, I'm trying to look, where is it now?
Well, there was three criminal charges.
Three felony indictments of
against
workers.
People, yes. Against human beings, and those people are going to be facing manslaughter charges, but nobody on the company, nobody on the board of directors
no,
of BP,
the CEO,
nobody will be paying a personal penalty.
That's right.
For the 11 cases of manslaughter that they have agreed to plead guilty to.
Yes.
It ain't very hard to plead guilty when you ain't got to go to jail.
That's right. I mean, there's going to be, this is a slap on the wrist for BP, at most the underlings, the sort of their high-ranking managers, but they are not part of the executive part of BP. So they are going to be indicted. They're going to go to trial. We'll see what happens if they go to jail as people. But, you know, as Jason Leopold just put out an article yesterday about this BP settlement and how former EPA officials say that this is just a slap on the wrist and that is not enough of an incentive to rein in this rogue company, BP. You know, he said that they're very possibly designated felons where they agree to take the fall for the company and they'll go to jail and then maybe get compensated for it afterwards or taken care of by the company. I mean, there's no evidence that that's what's going on specifically in this case, but it happens a lot.
And Jason Leopold quotes, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes, was it folks with the EPA?
Yeah,
saying,
he quotes a former EPA official, a guy who investigated, he was part of the investigation and enforcement arm of the EPA, and he investigated the BP refinery explosion back in 2005. In that case, when the refinery exploded down in Houston, it killed 15 people, and the agreement.
Anybody go to jail for that one?
Oh, absolutely not.
Of course not. They
settled the criminal charges during the Bush administration for only $50 million.
It's worth it to kill people. It's worth it for these companies to not worry about the proper safety procedures. If they get caught at it, if something goes wrong, they'll just have to pay a little fine. They'll get dinged. Nobody will go to jail.
It'll be less than they made in one quarter of
profits. So Leopold says that this guy says BP will kill again.
Right. That is exactly what this former EPA official says, because he notes that when 15 people were killed back in 2005, that $50 million fine obviously was not enough to prevent them from killing another 11 people or, you know, engendering a culture that puts profit over safety that then makes it possible in that corporation for such mistakes to happen, such, you know, poor judgment on the rig that allowed the 11 rig workers to die this time.
There is no accountability. There's no more accountability in this country, at least not for the rich and powerful.
And there's still some question about the future charges for BP to settle the Clean Water Act violations. BP right now is trying very hard to negotiate with the Department of Justice to prevent this from going to trial. It's scheduled to go to trial in late February in New Orleans. They are liable for up to $20 billion in Clean Water Act violations. They could either try to negotiate that down or to prevent it from going to trial whatsoever.
They'll work it out.
The settlement.
And on the same day that BP pleads...
The day after.
The BP pleads guilty and pays a slap on the wrist, we have another fire explosion on an oil rig in the Gulf.
Yes, and those two workers, they found the body of one. The other is still missing. But that was a different sort of situation, sort of. It was in shallower water. It was not a producing well. It was not an exploratory well. It was so there was no oil spill, very little oil that was associated with that. But the fact that, you know, this particular company, Black Elk Energy, is a smaller company, and they were apparently also not necessarily following all of the procedures that they needed to do when they were cutting into oil lines that held, you know, oil and gas with chainsaws.
Oh, what?
Yeah, one of the workers was cutting into a pipeline that they thought was empty, but it was not. And that sparked a gas explosion.
With a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw.
There was also this explosion before we... do we have time? Yeah, just very quickly. In California, the
Chevron refinery explosion?
Yeah, about a month or two ago. One of the things that was found in the investigation of this explosion, well, you explain it. They were working around,
someone yeah. at the Chevron, the 100-year-old Chevron refinery in Richmond, which is in the Bay Area. It's a poor part of town in this neighborhood that this refinery is located. Somebody somewhere had installed bypass equipment that for the monitoring equipment that shows what the emissions are. So they're still investigating. Of course, Chevron says no one here gave the okay to install illegal bypassing equipment for our monitors. No, we didn't do that.
This means there's little monitors that detect if there's if giving off gases or fumes or something
right.
dangerous, and somebody actually built the pipes to work around those monitors?
To bypass the monitors to make it appear to give correct emissions readings that do not violate the law.
So that is a very explicit act that somebody did at Chevron, on Chevron's behalf.
Yeah, and you want to know what makes it even better?
What?
Is that Chevron has told the company regulators that they will not be replacing the equipment. They're only going to repair it, which means that under current law, they do not have to install the latest pollution control equipment. You only have to do that if you replace it and do a substantial upgrade. Bush administration changed that law so that if you only repair it, then you don't have to add the basic pollution control stuff.
Oh, man. All right. When we come back, your calls on any of this, 877-520-1150, this or anything else you want to talk about. I've also got some audio clips that I hope to be getting to. And Marco Rubio, did you see this thing about Marco Rubio?
What?
He says he won't say how old the Earth is?
Yeah, he's...
Well, all right, don't give it away. We'll cover it on the other side of this break. Because this is, this is about 2016. This Marco Rubio thing. It never ends. All right, this is Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy on The Mike Malloy Show, 877-520-1150. We'd love to hear from you tonight, but I got plenty to talk about if not. All right, stay with us. Welcome back. This is the Malloy Program. I'm Brad Friedman. Glad you could join us. 877-520-1150. If you want to get in on the show, everybody always calls at the last second. You notice that, Tony? They always call last segment when I ain't got time for anybody. And then I say, okay, we'll do it. You got 10 seconds. And then they get mad at me because I only give 10 seconds. But they don't call when we got plenty of open lines. 877-520-1150. Anything you want to talk about, these are your public airwaves. Please use them before you lose them more than you already have. Yes, I'm talking to you folks up there in Portland and in Seattle, where your progressive radio station KPTK is about to disappear. Joe in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Joe.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Well, yep. I'm 80. Papa's 82. We are obviously great grandparents.
Yep.
We work with the poor and the needy. And I grew up in Edina. And I cannot believe my Republican friends who will never vote for a Democrat just because.
I
don't get it.
Just because they're crazy?
But they're nice people.
Yeah.
Honest to God, they are. They really are. And I'm listening to all this, and I thought, you know what? I've had three wines and a B&B, I think, and I have to call.
Oh, good.
Dumb. But I just think, what can we do? I'm going to call everybody in sight in Congress and say, what are you doing? I keep calling the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you make a difference? I'm active after I was 75.
Mm-hmm.
In our Democratic politics here, and certainly in our marriage amendment
mm-hmm.
evil thing and the voter ID thing here.
Well, you know what? That was great, though. You guys were great. You turned down that photo ID nonsense in
yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
You
oh,
guys
yeah.
are right here.
We're
and
so
it
thrilled.
Had been, it's great because that had been very popular. The propaganda had won over photo ID, made
oh,
everybody
God.
Think this was necessary,
yeah.
and
but, honey,
you guys
all my
nailed it.
Listen,
got
now,
rid of
all
it.
My friends listen to Fox News.
Yeah.
And they say I listen to the wrong station. So they are not believing what is true.
You listen to the right station, Joe.
I know
why don't
Thank
they?
God for Janet here.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Yeah. KTNF. Why don't they call in and tell
they
me?
Won't.
They won't.
Because it's a lie.
It is.
Yeah.
They
I
won't.
God.
They won't.
It's just amazing. I just I used to vote a split ticket. I used to vote for Republicans years ago
mm-hmm.
when I thought they were going to do good. But not anymore. But the longer you work with the poor, Brad.
Yeah.
And then this voter ID thing, we've been listening to you now for a long time, and we're thinking, this is just like the Paul and Ryan thing.
Yeah.
We just can hardly believe that people are doing this to our country. So I don't know how more to reach out. I've got calls into everybody.
Hang on a second, Joe. Let me take a break. Stick with us, because I know you had another question about election night as well.
I did.
Hang on. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show. Stay with us.
We'll get together now, darling.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
Nice. Well done. Welcome back. This is the Molloy Program, and I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. 877-520-1150 is our phone number if you'd like to get in on the show. All right, we were before the break speaking with Joe up in Minnesota, listening on the great KTNF. So, Joe, you were you actually it says on my call screen here that Karl Rove's dizzy spell on election night.
What? Well, first of all,
yeah.
We would love to thank Janet for her KTNF program.
Janet Roberts just, at KTNF.
Yeah, Janet
yes.
Roberts. Yeah, I've met her. We've been. Why don't you come to the Blue State Ball?
To the what?
To the Blue State Ball.
When is the Blue State Ball?
Saturday, January 26th.
I don't have a date.
This old lady's going to be there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I would love to see Janet again. Actually, I saw
yeah.
her a couple of months
Ed's
ago.
Ed's going to be there, Maybe. and a whole bunch of people. Mm. Mike Molloy isn't going to be there, of course, bless his heart. But a lot of. The progressives are going to be there. You know, I don't like to call myself a progressive. I like to call myself a person who cares.
Okay.
And
there's nothing
yeah,
wrong with
yeah,
calling yourself a progressive.
Thing,
yeah.
We don't have cable.
Yeah.
Because we don't stay home to watch TV.
Right.
But I'm hearing about Karl Rove's dizzy spell in front of the TV, and I thought, did he think he was meeting his Jesus, go to Jesus moment,
well,
or going to be put in a cement thing and down in the river?
Okay, well, here's what, you know, appears to have happened. And actually, it's, no, that's okay. There, a whole bunch of people are calling and they want to ask sort of about this stuff. So I'll just give you this piece of it and then I'll go to the next caller who has another
yeah,
question
yeah.
on it. But,
love
Carl.
Love your messages and your work, honey.
You're great. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Really appreciate it.
Okay.
I'll
sign off now.
All right. I'll explain
but
off
the Blue State Ball.
All right. The Blue State Ball.
In Minnesota.
I'll think about
yeah.
it. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank
you're
you.
Awesome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And
bye-bye.
To you. Thanks. Okay, well, on election night, and I know that, all right, well, let's Dave talk about it. Dave in Arcata, California, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, I've been a fan for a long time.
Oh, it's our old friend, Dave. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, well, it was today on the Tom Hartman show, and mm-hmm. I'm a regular with him, too, and I'm Bertrand Russell on his chat room.
Mm-hmm.
But the subject of the pretty much the full show today was that there had been warnings issued, one by someone who called himself Anonymous mm-hmm. and spelled out very clearly that he knew that there was a plan afoot for the neocons to rig the election and to put Mitt Romney in, and that it was going to be caught and exposed. And I had gotten it pretty much inside on the YouTube that the despite all kinds of efforts to prevent it from happening, that international observers had gotten involved in this particular election, and some of them very skillful and actually able to see not just that the computer is working from the outside, but able to get in the computer and see what's going on.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think anybody can see what's actually going on inside those computers. But, okay, I will tell you, because everybody seems to be asking about this, and I know Tom was talking about it, and I heard that my name came up today on his show as well. Here's the deal. On election night, here's what we know and here's what we don't. You know, before, a couple of weeks ago when I was here, I think it was just before Halloween, I was talking about this software we had just discovered, in Ohio. Bob Fetrakis and Jerry Bello over at the Free Press had discovered a contract for secret software with the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted. He had a contract with ESNS, the largest voting machine company in the world, to install some software on, I believe it was 34 different county systems in Ohio. On the vote tabulator systems, the central tabulator system, some secret software that hadn't been tested, that hadn't been certified, and nobody even would have known about it had somebody not released this contract to Bob Fetrakis at the Free Press. He's a great reporter in Ohio. And Fetrakis, who's also an attorney, actually went to court on election day to try to get this software out of those systems, and of course it was too late at that point to get it out, to be able to uninstall it in what the state now admits was, I believe, 25 different counties, the largest counties in Ohio. So they have this secret software. Nobody really knows what it's for. The state is claiming that it is meant to convert some election results from one format to another before sending it up to the Ohio Secretary of State's election night results server. That's what they claim this was for. The judge said, well, no, we can't have them uninstall it because we don't know what it does. It's too late for that. If you can prove that it's nefarious software, then we might have an issue here. However, the company, ESNS, was there and said, well, this is our proprietary software, so you can't look at it, and so you won't know if it's nefarious or not. And that is, of course, the problem that I've been arguing about for years, that we use proprietary secret software made by companies that won't let you look at the software, that even if they did let you look at the software, you can't look inside a computer to see if it's counted ballots, paper ballots, correctly when it scanned them, or touchscreen votes correctly, etc. Okay, fast forward now to election night on Fox News 2 weeks ago. The election is called for Ohio. On Fox News, and Karl Rove says, no, wait a minute, I think you're calling it too early. It's called, you know, I don't believe you, I don't believe that Ohio is going to George W., I'm
Obama.
Getting ahead of myself. I don't believe that it's going to Obama. Now, he begins to hold Fox News hostage. Now, why this becomes particularly interesting is at the exact same time, back in 2004, the last time there was a Republican Secretary of State in charge of Ohio, J. Kenneth Blackwell, you'll recall, Dave, the horrible 2004 election, at exactly, I believe it was 11:14, the Secretary of State's results server goes down. The results that the whole world was watching, the election night results that night. At that point, when it went down, John Kerry was winning in Ohio, just as he was winning in the exit polls. The server goes down, it comes back up a few minutes later, and we later on learn that the server had been transferred from Ohio down to Tennessee, to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where, and this is all documented at the company of at the servers of a company named Smart Tech, who ran the George W. Bush show website, who ran the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth website, who ran the George W. Bush secret email system, where we later learned millions of emails disappeared. All of a sudden, the election results in Ohio in 2004 show up at this server down in Tennessee, and when they come back up, George W. Bush is winning instead of John Kerry. Now, was there a man in the middle attack in 2004? We don't know exactly, but that is what has been speculated happened at the time that the election results went down in Ohio and moved down to Tennessee. Now, come back to 2012. At exactly 11:13, according to Bob Fitrakis, and I can't confirm that yet, but he says at 11:13, before Karl Rove starts going on and on about, wait a minute, it's too early to call Ohio. What are you doing, Fox News? I don't believe that Ohio is going to Obama after all. At that moment, and I can confirm this, I went over to the Ohio election results server website, and the Ohio Secretary of State's website was up, but the election results server had gone down. That same piece of software that was supposed to be used to talk to the Ohio election results server, don't know if it had anything to do with it or not, but now the site goes down at almost the exact same time it went down in 2004, and I know a lot of folks begin to be very concerned about this. I started taking screenshots because the rest of the site was up. The Secretary of State site was up in Ohio, but not the results server. Same thing in Cuyahoga County, the largest server, the largest county in Ohio. Their results server had gone down. When it went down, Obama had been leading in Ohio. And we're all concerned, are we seeing what we saw back in 2004? Are the servers going to come up and all of a sudden we're going to find that Mitt Romney is winning? We don't know. Karl Rove is holding everyone hostage on Fox News, essentially, saying, no, you called Ohio too early. And then they go to a break. They go to a commercial. And when they come back, Karl Rove and Chris Wallace are laughing about it or talking about it as if it never happened. Ah, never mind. Everything is fine in Ohio. The server comes back up in Ohio. Barack Obama is still leading in Ohio. Now, what happened at the time they went down to a break? Well, among the things that happened while Karl Rove was holding everyone hostage was the fact that both Virginia and Colorado were called for Barack Obama. So no matter how Ohio went, it didn't matter, because after they called Virginia and Colorado, Barack Obama had 272 electoral votes. That was enough to win the presidency. He no longer needed Ohio. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, the website comes up. The results server comes up. He's still ahead. Karl Rove is laughing about it on Fox News. Oh, never mind. And that is that. That is all that we actually know, Dave.
Well, I think what America needs to know, and you, very intelligent man, and I know you've been on this a long time, but I hope we don't misunderstand at all. It now appears that we have pretty solid empirical evidence, or at least circumstantial evidence, that this election and the last few have been rigged, and it has done unmerciful harm to the people of this country. It's a flat fact, Brad. 1% of the people don't normally get 50-some percent of the votes against the 99% who will also try to vote in their best.
Yeah, but don't forget that 1% has been conning, has been lying to, has been propagandizing, has been playing at least 50% of America for chumps, suckers, and stooges over the past how many years, telling them things that simply aren't true. And yet, you know, if they watch Fox News, they have no idea these things aren't true. They believe the BS and the nonsense. So whether they are systematically rigged or not, you know, I don't know. I report only what I can, you know, what I can confirm, what can be independently verified. And Dave, I got to get to a break, so thank you for your call, and I'll have another thought or two on this here.
Stay
but
with it, Brad.
Thank you, Dave. I'm glad to hear from you. The question that everyone has now been asking me about is Anonymous, and this letter that was from Anonymous saying that they had hacked into Karl Rove's Get Out the Vote tool. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have just a few more minutes. I'll give you my thoughts on that and how that plays into this entire fine mess. Remember, I only report what I can verify, what can be confirmed. And all of those elements that I just went through about the secret software in Ohio, about the election night website going down in Ohio, that is all confirmed, and we know that's what happened. Why did it happen? That we don't exactly know. And how does Anonymous play into this? I'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Thanks tonight to our producer, Desi Doyen, our super-duper associate producer, Margo Paez, my guest, Howie Klein, tonight of DownWithTyranny.com. Howie Klein, thanks, brother. And let's see. Oh, Tony Sorrentino, the greatest engineer in the room. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. And also, of course, the folks here at K-Talk AM 1150 for allowing me to sit in Stephanie Miller's studio, right? Don't tell her I was here. And we'll be back again here tomorrow, too, and Wednesday, for Mike, who's enjoying a much-deserved vacation. Of course, my thanks, as always, to 4Earth for looking after things in the chat room at bradblog.com, the scribblelive.com chat room. And if you missed any portion of tonight's broadcast, it will be up at the at bradblog.com late tonight. But get yourself a Mike Malloy podcast subscription, please. Pretty please. Support Progressive Radio. We really need you. And then after that, you can stop by and fill up the coffers at bradblog.com. I need you, too. It's been a long year. Could use some help. Really. Anything else? Okay. Oh, yeah. My thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy, naturally. And, okay, very quickly then, in our last few minutes here, Anonymous, how does this all play into what happened on election night? Well, a few months before the election, or at least a month or so, I think, before the election, Anonymous, the hacker collective, had released a video claiming that they were watching Karl Rove. They weren't going to let him get by with any stuff or nonsense this time around. They were watching his networks, his computer networks, so they claimed. That was a month or so before the election. And then on election day itself, we would later come to learn Mitt Romney's Get Out the Vote tool, that his database that he called Orca, and it was used supposedly used all around the country to track who had come in to vote and who had not, who they had to go and you know, help get out the vote. This Orca database apparently failed spectacularly. People couldn't log on. They didn't have passwords. The software didn't work. Apparently, it wasn't properly tested. At least that's what we had learned a few days after the election. A few days after that, then, in just the past few days, a letter supposedly from Anonymous sent to VelvetRevolution.us, which is a group that I helped co-found, We received a letter. I didn't see the letter, but we received it in our post box, and we posted it. Basically, it's anonymous, claiming to be anonymous, saying that they had hacked into Karl Rove's Orca Get Out the Vote server, even though it was Mitt Romney's. That they had hacked into it and somehow blocked it and blocked Mitt Romney from being able to use this to somehow steal the election. Now, I have no idea if this letter is authentic as far as who it came from. It's from an anonymous person. We don't even know if it's involved with the group Anonymous. They seem to be indicating they are, but we have no idea if they really are or if they aren't. We also have no idea if they really, got into the firewall, put in a firewall into this software, this Mitt Romney Orca database software. We don't know. You can go read that letter at Occupy for Accountability and make of it what you will. I haven't covered it at bradblog.com because I can't confirm any of it. I can't verify any of it. And when you're talking about stealing an election, when you're talking about blocking someone from stealing an election, I think it's incumbent, at least I feel it's incumbent on me as a journalist, to make sure I have my facts in order, to make sure that you don't have to trust me, that I have verifiable information. And in this case, I can't really verify anything about this claim. It is what it is. Believe it or not, make of it what you will. But I can't authenticate it. I can't add any additional information to it. But if I can, I will certainly, of course, report on that at BradBlog, here, and everywhere else. But I can only report stuff that can be verified. That's my take on it. Make of it what you will. We can talk about it more for the rest of the week if you really, really want to. But you'll have to call in and ask me about it. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Mike Malloy Program. We'll see you at bradblog.com. Until then, keep it lit, America. We'll see you tomorrow night right here.